and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
Psalm 119, verse 121. I have done judgment and justice, leave me not to mine oppressors. Verse 121, David saying, I've done judgment and justice. He did what was right, and he delivered justice. He said, leave me not to mine oppressors. He's praying and begging God there not to leave him to be devoured by those that oppress him. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. He's saying there, be surety, be a down payment, be one who stands to the good for thy servant, for good. Let not the proud oppress him. Those proudful, spiteful people who were after David. He said, Lord, don't let them oppress me and protect me from them. Verse 123, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. His eyes had failed. He had tears, maybe even, for the salvation, for the deliverance of God. This is not talking about soul salvation, but deliverance from a particular trial and tribulation. And he said, mine eyes fail for thy salvation, and they also fail for the word of thy righteousness. He was wanting to hear the righteousness, the word of God. See, God's word is righteous. It's right. It's holy. It's just. And it's all that is good. Verse 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. I've said it a lot of times, and I'll say it again. We do not want justice when we're dealing with a sovereign, holy God. You know what justice would have been? When Adam and Eve sinned, God would have never killed that animal and made a covering for them. He would have let them run around in their fig leaves physically, and then he would have never brought forth the Messiah spiritually and literally down the road for mankind to be saved. And once Adam and Eve plunged the human race into sin, there would have been no hope, and he could have been a just God. And everybody that born from Adam and Eve on even to the day, the Lord could allow them to die and go to hell, and we could not have brought one charge to his holiness and to his godliness. But he deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. In mercy, he promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. We know that literally that was talking about the Satan was there in the form he had possessed the snake, and that the seed of man would hate the snake, the reptile. Most human beings, when they see a snake, if they can, they try to destroy it and bruise its head. But prophetically, he was talking about the coming Messiah would bruise the head of Satan, not the actual snake, but Satan himself. And he did that on Calvary, and he did it at an empty tomb, and he did it when he died for the sins of man and made a way to save that very race that God, that Satan brought sin and temptation to. And so we need to cry for mercy. You that are not saved, don't ask for justice, but cry out for mercy from God, that He'll save you by His grace. And those of us that are saved, when we cry out for forgiveness, when we've got away from God in sin, we don't want justice. There is a sin unto death for the Christian. If God was just, He would kill us every time, the first time we sinned, even after we were saved. But He's a God who is rich and great in mercy. And teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy word. See, if we're going to really learn the word of God, we're going to have to learn it spiritually. There's a lot of lost men who have a great understanding of the word as far as some of the things on the surface, but they can't really understand the spiritual application to it, because the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, 1 or 2 Corinthians, he said, the carnal man understandeth not the things of God, nor can he. You cannot really understand the things of God. You might understand it in your head, but you'll never understand it inwardly in the inner man until the Lord saves you by His sovereign grace. Verse 125, I am thy servant. Lord, I'm your slave. I'm your servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies, thy word. I tell you what, we ought to beg God to get understanding of his word. There's so much in the Bible, so many doctrines, so many teachings, so many prophecies, so many things concerning how we should live and do and how God is. And we ought to beg God to give us some understanding that I may know his word. I want God to open up my eyes and show me the truth of Scripture. Give me what I need from the Bible as I preach to others and try to implement it in my home and family. God, give me understanding of your word. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. He said, God, it's time that you worked on them. Lord, you do the work because they've made void thy law. They've tried to stamp out thy law and make it no good. And I feel like that's where America is today. I mean, everything that goes on, I think about in the entertainment world, whether it's the actors and the actresses in Hollywood and the movies and the shows, or whether it's the entertainers of the music world. But whenever those people, I mean, they're always getting married, and in 2 or 3 years it's divorce, and it's big thing in the tabloids and on the media. And I'm going to say that the laws of our land are trying to make void the law of God. Will we open marriage up for sodomites and lesbians? Where we try to say that if a woman has a right to choose, that she can choose to murder her baby? Where it doesn't matter what kind of church you go to, just as long as you go. It doesn't matter, you know, how you say you get to heaven. We're all going to the same place, just getting there a different way. But I want to say that Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And though they try to make void thy law, the word of God, they're trying to stamp the very thought of God out of society. They want to rip the Ten Commandments off from public buildings. They don't want scriptures. They don't want in God we trust on the money. But I want to tell this hell-bent, hell-bound world who hates God, who hates everything that's right, you can do all that and you might try to remove and make void the word of God in the name of God in public society. But until God raptures the Christians out of this world, that there will always be a testimony of this word. It will always be something to do with God. As long as he's got his saints on this earth, the Spirit of God dwells in us, and they can burn our Bibles, they can burn everything that has anything to do with God and try to erase him from our history books. And that's what the public schools are doing, and the colleges, they're trying to erase the very thought of God, make our forefathers look like a bunch of whoremongering drunks and atheists. But I'm going to say they can try to remove and make void the law all they want to, but the Word of God is still in the hearts and in the minds and souls of those that are saved, and they can't get rid of that even if they kill those of us that are saved. We're going on to a better place in an eternal heaven, and so the Word of God will never be put out of business. He said they've tried to make void thy law. They've made it empty. They tried to cancel it out, but they're having... Seemingly, they're having success today, but ultimately they won't. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above even fine gold. You can tell me you believe the Bible and love it, but I tell you how we know how much we really think about something, how much time we give to it. Do we give more time to watching something, listening to something, reading other books? And I know when we work and, you know, God doesn't require, if a man works 12 hours a day, he doesn't have to come home and read his Bible 12 hours and not get... I know that's not what it's talking about. But where is your love in your heart? See, if you love something or somebody, you'll make some time for them most every day. Now, I know there comes up times, you know, you might not be able to spend time with your wife or your husband or your children every day, but your heart is there and you're wishing that you were, even if something else calls you away. Well, it ought to be that way with the Word of God. There will come days when times, I know, where things come up and we might not get to read the Word of God, but I won't say that our heart ought to be longing and missing getting to read the Word and be even sad that we didn't get to read the Holy Word of God that day. He said, I love it above gold. That's the God of our day, is gold. It's all you hear about in the presidential race, and I know money's important. I mean, it is. Our whole society is tied to money and having a way to get by and survive. You've got to have money to live on. I know some super duper spiritual preachers try to act like you don't, but they make sure that they've got a new van bought every year and that their retirement's covered and their pensions is covered. They'll tell the people to almost live on a shoestring, but they want to live on the whole shoe. And that's hypocrisy to the high heaven for a man to act like that. But I love it more than gold, yea, above even the finest gold. Not just gold, but the best, purest gold you can find. The Word of God, I love it even more than that, the psalmist said. Therefore, in verse 128, I esteem all thy word, thy precepts, concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That's why I don't believe in ecumenicalism. Everybody says, well, we're going to all be in the same heaven. Yeah, well, those that are in other denominations and things that are not a true church that are truly saved. But even then, not only will their soul be saved, but their mind and body will be saved. I want to say that I'm not worried about the sweet by and by. I'm worried about the dirty now and now. And that's why we can't be mixing up in ecumenical things. You can't have a Baptist there who's preaching the Word of God and joining hands with a bunch of Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopalians, a bunch of water baptism people, infant baptism, sprinkling, falling from grace, believing women preachers, believing double married preachers, believing all this stuff. I'm telling you, Baptists have nothing to do, should have nothing to do with Protestant people. Not that we hate them or don't love them, but we can't fellowship. We ought to hate a false way. Anybody who preaches baptismal regeneration, preaches that the sacrament or that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, that it imparts grace, that you've got to take it to be saved, that baptism saves. See, when you're wrong on what the church is, you'll be wrong everywhere else. Every false church perverts the ordinances that God set out and changes them around. And when you pervert the ordinances, you pervert the gospel. Because the gospel is shown forth in baptism as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and also the death and burial of the old man and the resurrection of new life when the Lord saves you. Then the Lord's Supper, we remember His death in the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread's nothing that anybody desires, and the Bible said He wasn't comely that anybody would desire Him. And we see the unleavened bread represents His body, and the fruit of the vine represents His blood, His holy blood that was without sin. His flesh had no sin. But when we pervert the ordinance of the Lord's church, see, every man-made church adds to salvation. He adds something to it that he can do because it is made by man, and man wants to save himself. But the true church of the Lord preaches salvation by grace, and Christ is the only way out, not of works, lest any man should boast. God bless you. We'll be back next week, and we'll take off in Psalm 119, verse 129.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.